AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Wicked winter weather is playing cruel tricks on holiday travelers, whether it be heavy snow, frigid temperatures, or both. Rain in some areas, too. Here's correspondent Bradley Blackburn.
From near whiteout conditions in Minnesota to dangerous flooding in the Northeast, the massive winter storm is bringing extreme weather to dozens of states. The so-called bomb cyclone is forcing airlines to ground flights, disrupting the Christmas weekend for travelers.
I think our plans are ruined.
It also means some holiday gifts won't get there until after Christmas. CBS's Jim Crisula.
FedEx, UPS, the U.S. Postal Service, and Amazon are all warning that the severe winter storm affecting much of the country could delay millions of last-minute Christmas gift deliveries. This is the second busiest week for U.S. package delivery companies, which are moving more than 165 million parcels per day this week.
The Great Lakes region and Western and Central New York seem to be getting most of the snow right now. Further east, severe thunderstorm warnings are up for parts of New England. The cancellations and delays keep piling up for flyers, too. FlightAware says there are more than 8,200 delays in the U.S., more than 5,000 flight cancellations today. But the government will stay in business after House passage of a $1.7 trillion budget. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have a big bill here because we have big needs for our country. We have the largest defense appropriation ever, and again, but at the same time, pleased to put a penny in the old man's hat. We address the needs of America's working families with special focus on our children.
Many Republicans voted against the bill, saying taxpayers would get stuck with a bill for needless programs. Haiti has long been in a state of anarchy and turmoil, and now its government is asking for outside help in stopping the violence there. Here's CBS's Pamela Falk.
Haiti's economic and political crisis is dramatically deteriorating, and the UN urged the world to respond to the Haitian government's request for an international armed force. U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood.
Ongoing kidnapping, use of sexual violence, and raping by gangs, clashes between gangs, and the blockage of the country's main roads remain significant challenges.
The UN urged action before year's end because of the brutality of the violence by armed gangs against civilians. Pamela Falk, CBS News, United Nations.
In Paris, protests after a gunman shot and killed three people at a Kurdish cultural center. What's believed to be a racially motivated attack. The suspect wounded and is in custody. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natmir with your headlines. If you're driving today, be careful. The winter storm warning continues with dangerously cold air and wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour. The National Weather Service says wind chills could reach 20 to 35 degrees below zero. The winds are expected to decrease on Saturday. Wind chills, though, will likely stay 10 to 20 below through Sunday morning. A pay raise around $8 an hour for public defenders and local prosecutors is on the wish list for several justice groups, including Wisconsin's Department of Justice, the Director of State Court, the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office, and all 71 of Wisconsin's elected DAs. The proposal released this week by the coalition would use $13.6 million over 2 years to raise hourly pay for assistant state public defenders from $26.70 to $35. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Drex, think train.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, and he cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake on the Civic Media Network all over Turtle Island. We're broadcasting live from our mothership and live all over Wisconsin. And tonight we have KFAI dropping in with us, too. We're really excited to have a live broadcast here, and they're supporting a Native American Month here, and we're alive, and we had two other shows going on, and I was on earlier this morning, and it's just exciting stuff, Ogama, and I think what we'll do right now, just because of our interview we have, listen to me mumble here, our interview we're having, I'm just going to go right away to the interview with what is happening tonight. It'll all make sense once you listen to it, so let's listen to it. Ho-wah.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with Beth Castle, and we got some important information to talk about. What's happening tonight, Beth? We got some cool people here. You're cool too, Beth. I want you to introduce these great ladies and then take it from here and talk about this great event that's happening tonight.
Thank you, Robert. So I'm here. I'm Beth Castle, and I'm with Madonna Thunderhawk and Marcella Gilbert. And we're on behalf of the Warrior Women Project tonight at the Minneapolis Hilton between 7 and 9 p.m. Today is November 11th. It's Friday. And we hope you'll join us for this really phenomenal opportunity we have to bring our film, the Warrior Women film, that we have worked on and been a part of for years now, along with our co-director, Christina King, who made the film. But the Warrior Women Project is in town as part of the National Women's Studies Association annual conference. And they are giving us the space to host a screening of our film tonight. But the most important thing that we're doing is what we hope to do a lot more of is have an honoring and recognition of two women who were the absolute OGs of AIM, Native journalism, the Minneapolis Twin Cities area, Laura Waterman Whitstock and Pat Bellinger. Both women have walked on. They have incredible legacies, daughters who are still doing phenomenal work in the area. But they have both been interviewed as part of the Warrior Women Project Community Archive that seeks to tell the story and share the history of women's activism in the Red Power movement of the 1960s and 70s. And I I, what we do together here, Madonna and Marcella and myself, is work together collaboratively to tell this history. And I wanted to ask both of you why it's important that we take this time to honor all of the women who are part of it, and specifically Laura and Pat.
Well, I just think it's our time, you know, and if anybody's going to do it, then we should do it. And myself, I knew these women. I was, active with them back in those days, you know, the days of the Red Power Movement. And I just think it's just awesome that we're doing this, and especially with their daughters going to be present this evening. I'm excited. And also, I believe Stephanie Autumn's going to be there. She was one of, far younger, you know, teenager type, you know, during those days. But she was active. She was a worker bee, you know, and she's been active all these years. So, yeah, this to me, this is really, really important. And it's exciting.
I had an opportunity to see you online with Stephanie and also Winona LaDuke. And it was very funny to see how intimidating you were to them. And I thought that was great because these are like adults now and great in their own way. But it was like, I was afraid of you, Madonna. And it's like, what? But yeah, that's exciting. And is Rosie going to be there for Laura?
Yeah, and we're really grateful that they sort of joined us at the last minute for this, because we're really focused with the Worry Women Project to see that families and their extended families are involved. So Rosie Simas, I'm not sure actually how she pronounces her last name, but Rosie, and then of course Lisa Bellinger. And Lisa is one of the interviews in our collection, because Lisa, like her mom, just like Madonna and Marcy, we're mother-daughter activists. So we hope that we have all those folks there. And also Jacqueline Huber Long, who played a huge role in the Women of All Red Nations. She actually worked very closely with Pat Bellinger for quite some time, will also be joining us tonight. And that's our invitation, is anyone who would like to learn more or share stories or memories, or would like to share your own story, come connect with us tonight to talk about the Red Power Movement.
That's awesome. Lisa grew up in this, and she was like one of the first students at the Little Red Schoolhouse. I know I've seen pictures of her as young, but you also were young, and you're in the documentary too, taking pictures as a young person. You know, we all go through our being enamored with people, and then also rebel with our adults. But it was great to see you're here with your mom. How do you feel about this? You're a big part of history.
I think it's been overdue. It's a part of history that nobody knows. Nobody knew, and you know, that there's, of course, now you see it, women are on the front lines everywhere, you know, but in the film it shows what was happening in the 60s and 70s, and all that was put in the rear, or wasn't visible, because all the attention was on the men. So I think it's great that this part of history is being shared, and I hope people, you know, you're all invited. Come and check it out. It's going to be, it's really a good film.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, one of the things, too, it's interesting, Madonna, you have credentials of being at Alcatraz, and then you were low-key at Wounded Knee, BIA. I know I saw you at,
Beth calls it Forrest Gump with a Red Power Movement. I'm everywhere. I pop up everywhere.
No, but that. But you were low key because you didn't want the fuzz to know Wounded Knee.
I already told the fuzz. I said, no, I'm going home. I won't go anywhere near.
So it's hard to find a picture of you there, but you were there, Forrest. Madonna. But So, but I mean, I'm here talking to history, and we were joking in the beginning about me talking to Leonard Peltier on the phone, and it was just like, you know, talking to history.
Yeah.
You know, really, and so. I have a hard enough time talking as it is, so it's...
Is it intimidating to talk to history itself?
Right.
Tell us history.
Yeah. 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 And history's daughter. Well, you guys have to join him tonight. I'm sure it's going to be more serious than it is right now.
I know.
No, that's okay. You know, we're all suffering from jet lag of some sort. But, Beth, let's give another quick promo of what's happening tonight.
Yeah, so just to close it out, well, first of all, warriorwomen.org. Also follow us on social media. That's always a great way. Actually, Robert always does a fantastic job of covering what's going on. So tonight... it's November 11th, Friday night, 7 to 9. We will have food there, so you want to get there right at the start. We've asked Powwow Grounds to cater. We wanted to support indigenous local food folks, and they're going to provide some chicken wild rice soup, fried bread, and salad. So we will start at 7. We'll show the film, and then we're going to spend the last hour sharing interview clips of both Pat and Laura, Pat Bellinger and Laura Waterman-Whitstock, and open the floor for people to share. And we really hope you come and join us. And it's at the Minneapolis Hilton, wherever that's located.
In downtown Minneapolis, I'm sure. Any last words?
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to let you know this portion of the show is brought to you by MinSure. I needed health care coverage that I could count on and afford, and MinSure helped me find a plan that worked for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today to get started and get covered.
Hey, thanks, Ogama. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and geez, we haven't talked since the election, so it's really great to see you, and I'm glad you're one of the last men standing up. We had a blue tsunami here. You're going to have help in the Senate, and so really excited what's happening here in Minnesota.
Well, good evening, everyone. Really glad to be here. Kind of tired. So I am trying to think of what I need to say here. But yes, we were very, very fortunate here in Minnesota that we kept all of our constitutional elected officials, from the governor to the attorney general, secretary of state, auditor, also the best news of all is that we flipped the Minnesota Senate from a GOP majority to a DFL. And for those that are listening, DFL is Democrat Farmer Labor Caucus, and we're the Democrats in Minnesota. We call ourselves DFLers. And so we have that trifecta. The governor, the House, and the Senate are all majority Democrats. In the Senate, we don't have much of a cushion. We have just a one-person majority, so we really have to be strong and intentional when we are working on our legislation, not only to make sure that it's good legislation and things that are good for Minnesota, but also legislation that our GOP members can also support. So yeah, it was a very exciting evening. There were a number of candidates that didn't make it, that didn't get elected, that I would have really, really liked to have seen elected. But I hope that doesn't discourage those that ran and didn't get what they were looking for this time around. Sometimes it takes two or three times to run before you build up that name recognition and get the kind of support you need. But I just want to thank all the candidates who ran. Congratulations to those that were successful, and just, you know, keep your chin up, those that weren't, and let's see you out there again.
Exactly. I really feel bad that Ruth Buffalo lost in North Dakota, but that state is so gerrymandered, and half her, if not most of her, the people that voted for her were cut out of her district, and so very sad about that. Red Dawn Foster did win in South Dakota as a state senator. Good to hear that. And we're going to be able to get a lot of things done now here in Minnesota.
I believe we will. I think that, you know, we have in the Senate, we are on 4-year terms, which means that we have 4 years to work on putting things right in Minnesota and putting in the safeguards and constitutional protections against things like abort, or, you know, in support of abortion, so that we aren't able to take that away. I'd love to see the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, codified in our state constitution. We know, and we've been hearing all about ICWA and the threat to Indian Child Welfare Act. Here in Minnesota, we have a sort of like a second support security program called MIFPA, Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. And it runs parallel or in conjunction with the ICWA. And so we need to make sure that we're going through that, the MIFPA, and making sure that we have all our ducks in a row there, just in case this case doesn't prevail the way we'd like it to. There are a lot of people that are contacting me to legalize marijuana. And, you know, in Minnesota, there are edibles, some levels of edibles that are now legal, but we put the horse before the cart, or no, the cart before the horse, and need to go back and sort of put some structure to that, and then look at what we will do as far as legalizing recreational marijuana and how those sales and licensing and protections can be put in place. You know, there's just so much to do. I'm really excited to be able to do that. And yesterday in our DFL caucus, I was elected an assistant majority leader. Oh. So I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I was a minority leader, but an assistant majority leader when I was in the House. So this is my third time having that role. And, you know, a big part of the reason that I look for those sort of leadership roles is so that we can continue to educate and influence the legislature and legislators around Indian country and the issues that are very unique to us. Sometimes they're unique to us, but then they also are very similar to other issues within other color communities of color as well. So I always feel like when we address the issue for, you know, one group that have been intentionally left out, eventually, and I hate to use that trickle down theory, but even, you know, that we will also cast that web wide and recognize, like, the violence against our Native women and girls and Two-Spirit is you know, mirrors what happens in the Black community. So when we start working on issues like that, we know that it's going to make a lasting effect across the state.
Exactly. Really happy that we have some new blood, and especially here in the cities, here in Minnesota. Again, we're talking to Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, Standing Rock Sioux, and it's exciting that we have people that are now looking like us, especially in the cities, and these outstate suburbs are not as... red as they used to be. They're getting more purple and blue, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it is. Minnesota is changing. I think it's changing slowly but surely. We have the largest group of BIPOC legislators in the Minnesota Senate that we've ever had. Yesterday, we elected Senator Bobby Joe Champion from like North Minneapolis area to be our president. He's the first Black person, let alone a Black man, to serve in that seat. We have our first Black women elected and Somali Muslims elected to the Minnesota Senate. We just went from four folks of color in the Minnesota Senate to, I think, 10. And so things are changing, and they're changing in a good way. And I'm just really excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, and we're excited too. And again, congratulations on your new position, which I know you're going to do great. And we're really excited to get reports. And we're really on pins and needles here nationally too. The red tsunami that all these polls and everything said was going to happen, probably didn't think of Gen Z and the new voters and the women that were not happy with the way things were happening. So you know, it really excited, and fingers are crossed too nationally.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think there are those that are realizing that Magna and the past president, those kind of influences are, you know, really destructive. They are not constructive. They are so destructive and so divisive that I hope that Republicans and others are really thinking long and hard about their role in dividing this nation instead of bringing it together. And so there's a lot of work to be done, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes here. I just hit the bumper music up now. One, Ogama's giving us a cue. Stick with us, State Senator, if you can. It's exciting. I think we're all tired, but we're all tired in a good way. And I'm really... really excited for what the DFL can do here in Minnesota, and legalize marijuana for those who want to partake, because I think, you know, it's, and get the people out of prison that were put in prison because of this craziness, especially, well, we'll get into this more. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Wajile, wajile, wajile.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Be careful what you wish for. In this case, a white Christmas that comes with much more than just snow in New York State. Governor Kathy Hochul.
The roads are freezing. The roads are going to be like an ice skating rink. And your tires cannot handle this.
Much of the northern half of the country is not just below freezing, but in the single digits. Many parts of Florida hitting the 30s tonight. This woman was flying out of Miami.
We came from Bradenton all the way here. And on the way, we're getting the text messages that it's delayed. Now it's not delayed, and we're on time now. So we're just happy to, you know, get to Cancun on time and enjoy some warm weather.
The House has voted on the spending bill.
On this vote, the yeas are 225. The nays are 201. Voting present, one. On this vote, the motion is adopted.
And that means the U.S. government stays in business, at least until September. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A winter storm warning is still in effect in Wisconsin through tomorrow morning. A bomb cyclone storm is delivering snow, wind, and bitter cold to much of the U.S., and Wisconsin is one of the hardest hit states. Many places have not gotten as much snow as forecast, but road conditions are still pretty bad in many places, and wind chills could be life-threatening. Governor Evers says he's keeping an eye on concerns over the social media app TikTok, but that he isn't looking to ban it from state phones or computers. Republicans are trying to get the governor to ban TikTok from state devices out of fears of Chinese spying. The governor says a small number of people in his administration use TikTok and that he's spoken to the FBI about the dangers of hacks and leaks. In sports, the Bucks are at Brooklyn tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Black suit. You know what happens when you register with Selective Service? You'll stay eligible for college loans, jobs, and training programs. If you're a guy turning 18, go to sss.gov and register. No, karate classes are not included.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to let you know this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do, and we really appreciate their support over the years. we're here with State Senator Mary Kunesh of Minnesota, and we're really happy to have her on and happy that she's still here. And we're all tired. We're all feeling tired about this, and I'm glad. And it's a good tired, and Minnesota and hopefully the country will be safe from this insanity.
Right. I think there was some real concern that there would be some violence at some of the polling places. There would be intimidation. There would be unwarranted suggestions of poll tampering or something like that. But we didn't hear that. We didn't see it. And so for that, I am very, very thankful, especially after what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband, you know, the invader who hit him on the head with a hammer and was planning to do all kinds of atrocious, awful things to Nancy Pelosi. You know, you just don't know who's out there and what the plan might be. But it appears that we didn't see any of that. We didn't hear any of the, you know, the negativity that we had been warned about. And so on that, in that way, I'm very, very thankful, but that doesn't mean that we're over the hump of this kind of, you know, real strong disconnect, especially political and in ways that aren't going to serve our communities the best way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's giving less power to the former POTUS, too, because he's really his plans did not go well. And the people that he put out front did not do as well as he hoped to nationally. And so there's that. But it's going to take a while for that all that energy to cool down. And we don't know how long. Hopefully it's a short time. But you know, it's a frightening time, and I'm glad the Gen Zers and the women and everybody that went out and voted did vote, and I don't think there should be any minimizing of any election, midterms or full terms or whatever. I think they all should be elections and get everybody out there, because when it comes to the DFL and becomes to the vote blue, no matter who, we outnumber them, and it shows that in the statistics. Their numbers are consistent, and ours go up and down. So, you know, being engaged, keeping people engaged and happy, and would really, really help, I think, State Senator.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's just so much work to be done trying to build our economy back up, get folks back to work, but to back to work in a meaningful way, you know, where it's not just plugging somebody into all the different vacancies in jobs and businesses and shops and restaurants. But I think we have an opportunity to build an ability to retrain a lot of our workers in a trade or a business that really speaks to them and gives them satisfaction, you know, rather than just getting out there and getting a job that's going to pay the bills that really doesn't have much meaning or contribution to society as a whole. So we have that huge opportunity. Education. We know how hard it is right now for teachers, for students, for families, trying to get back into the cycle of education and learning. And especially this past year, when our Senate was led by the GOP, we didn't get any, they didn't put any money into the schools to speak of. There was one program for literacy, but that was it. And this is at a time when schools were screaming for support for mental health issues, to get the class sizes down. The cost of gas is going up, so that means transporting kids is even more expensive. There's always been a disparity in what the state and the federal government provides our schools with for educate our kids with disability or our ELL students. So there's so many different ways that we can really be intentional about putting our tax dollars into really good programs and a pathway to building strong communities and happy, healthy communities. I think we've all heard the saying that if you want to see how healthy or happy a community is or a country is or whatever geological part is, look to the children. Are the children happy? Are the children healthy? Are the children safe? And if you can answer those kind of questions, then that's a really big indicator that that you're doing something right. And so I would really like us to, seeing that we have the trifecta, use that as the barometer, the judgment to say how well are we doing when we're meeting the needs of our communities.
Yeah, Mary, I saw the superintendent, believe it or not, of St. Paul Public Schools when I was voting early, and he was too. And I think you and I have joked about this over the years that when we're retired from our JOBs, maybe going back as a paraprofessional, and because we love kids and the whole vibe so much, but there are 76 paraprofessional openings in St. Paul Public Schools right now, what he said. And I don't think that they get paid enough. And I know you've worked with a lot of great paras, and I know I have, and they're boots on the ground. They're right there with the kids, and really would like to, along with marijuana, look into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would 100% agree that we have historically failed to really provide a living wage for those school employees. And it's important to remember that those employees have that 9-month span of earning, ability to earn money. And then, of course, when school's out of session, they are not receiving any kind of salary. And they can't, at least in Minnesota, they are barred from applying for unemployment. When you think of the construction trade, those guys and those women and men are out there as soon as they can in the spring and work as long as they can into the autumn and fall. But when they're not working, they're getting unemployment. And I think not only do we have to really pay a living wage, a true living wage to those folks, because they are doing the work that is so important, but also then make sure that they have the ability to access unemployment and that we are providing, a really robust support system of benefits. I had assistants in my library who the reason she was there was to pay for the health insurance for her family. And most paychecks, there was like nothing left at all from her salary, because everything went to that health care, the insurance for their family. So that's, that's just not right. That's just not the way it should be. And we need to make sure that we're treating those people with the utmost respect, because they are doing the hardest work of all.
And some of them should be really streamlined into teaching, because a lot of them do teach. And but I really, really like your idea about the unemployment. That's a really easy fix. Gosh, I remember, all the seasonal workers can do that. I had a friend that years ago worked on the towboats and tugboats on the Mississippi, and they'd work all day and night for a lot of money and chill out during the winter on unemployment that they paid into.
And it makes perfect sense to me. If we want to keep those really good workers, then we have to incentivize the fact that we want you to come back in the fall. But you are absolutely correct in saying also that they are the ones that are doing a lot of the instruction. I mean, the teacher, the head teacher might be giving the lesson, But if those parents that are sitting down and doing the work with those students and helping them complete the work and comprehension. And so I have always been a big proponent of encouraging our assistants, teaching assistants or paras to look into going into the teaching profession. They're doing the work. They might as well get paid for it. And for the last 6 years that I've been in the legislature, I've always carried and supported a bill called Increased Teachers of Color and Indigenous here in Minnesota. It's this nice, big, fat, juicy, comprehensive bill program that would, not only provide funding for incentives to attract and recruit teachers of color, but then to help them in the process through their schooling, when they have to do their practicum. And then we know that those teachers, 5 years into teaching is kind of the make or break. And how can we get support systems in to keep those teachers, retain those teachers? And so we'll be looking for more of that in the state legislature, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know when I went back to get my degree, they gave me a lot of credits, the University of Minnesota, for that. And I didn't have to go in and student teach either. So there's ways, especially with the great workers that we have. Hey, State Senator, thanks so much for coming in. Congratulations. 4 more years, and we'll be seeing you everywhere because, we both walk in the same tracks. But really appreciate your work and appreciate you being here on Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
You bet. We'll be let down, Kev.
All right, we'll see you. Hey, up next, Ogema and I with the news and what other shenanigans she wants to come up with. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh,
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Bonjour, everyone. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Hey,
Ogema, that is a Friday howl if I ever heard one.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, that was great having State Senator on and the OG crew earlier. You know, and so we usually lead off the show with the news. So I know you have a few things that are important that need to be brought up. So I want to just swing part of the end of the show back to you, Ogema.
Yeah, absolutely. Miigwech for that, Robert. I'm Ogema Ganuakwe, and I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I usually have news at the beginning of this show, but today we're tucking it in at the end here. And the big thing that I want to talk about is there's new information that just came out in a media advisory from the group Wadukawad Amikwag, which is those who protect the beaver. They're a citizen science and monitoring group, and they are now sharing findings on the ecological harms that have happened from the Line 3 or Line 93 pipeline construction that occurred between 2020 and 2021 in Minnesota. If you're not up to date, Line 3 was highly contested by the native people in Minnesota and by many water and environmental advocates as well. And the Minnesota Department of Resources has identified and publicly made aware everyone in the state three sites where the Canadian multinational company Enbridge pierced aquifers while they were constructing the Line 3 pipeline. But volunteers with the independent monitoring group Wadukawak Amikwag have said that there's permanent disturbance of surface and groundwaters with ecological damage at least 45 sites across the headwaters of the Red River of the North, the Mississippi River, the St. Louis River, and in the Lake Superior watersheds. So far, the state of Minnesota has fined Enbridge and taken some legal action against the company for harms to water across the state. And last month, the Attorney General Keith Ellison announced that the state was pressing criminal charges against Enbridge for the aquifer breaches. And the Minnesota DNR and the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa have reached agreements with the company for additional restoration and monitoring funds. However, earlier this year, the DNR had fined the company for damage to the first identified aquifer breach site near Clearwater, Minnesota. But the state's response so far has been pretty based on very limited data and has not really accounted for the full extent of the disruption that's happening and that has happened to the surface and the groundwater. To be clear, NPR covered this story in early 2022, talking about the different aquifer breaches that had happened from Enbridge. And they just updated it again in March with the three sites. So Enbridge had lost 50 million gallons of groundwater at Enbridge's Clearbrook Terminal in January of 2021. There was a second breach that occurred near LaSalle Creek in Hubbard County and released 9.8 million gallons of groundwater before Enbridge reported it had stopped the flow. And then the third breach was on September 10th near the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation in St. Louis County. And the groundwater began welling up as crews removed the sheet piling after finishing construction on that stretch of the pipeline. And that leak has resulted in the release of nearly 220 million gallons of groundwater. The agency also said the breach is potentially affecting the Dead Fish Lake, which is an important wild rice water lake for the Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe, and the agency being the DNR. The Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe actually had to end their put a ban on ricing on their lakes because this year the wild rice at the Fond du Lac community was very ill and it wasn't safe to rice. So these are real consequences that have happened as a result of the Line 3 pipeline being constructed here in Minnesota. And Wadukawak Amikwag is calling on state and federal agencies to join them in adequately monitoring these harms and for those findings to inform the permitting decisions on proposed Line 5 in Wisconsin for Enbridge's next project that runs through most of northern Wisconsin and into the Straits of Mackinac in northern Michigan as well. So next Thursday, November 16th at 12 p.m. Central Time, Wadukawak Amikwag will publicly present an overview of their extensive findings of aquifer upwellings and other ecological disruptions along the Line 3 pipeline route. And you can RSVP at sierraclub.org or on Facebook, social media. And you can also find the information on Wadukawad Amikwag's
YouTube page. So, Robert, that was a lot of information all at once, but this is all stuff we knew that was going to happen, correct?
Right. And then I was just thinking too, Ogama, you know, we hear, again, news that you don't hear anywhere else here on Native Roots Radio and Pinigigi for that. I was just thinking too, with the ICWA and the Supreme Court and the money, the lawyers and that are backing up this family, you know, are doing it pro bono, and they're, you know, they're oil and Enbridge lawyers. And so it's a direct attack at our sovereignty, but also clean air and clean water all over Turtle Island. So again, thank you for that. But it just makes me, I always think about connecting the dots backwards, you know, and people say follow the money, but, you know, the same thing. It's like, oh, what's going on here? And people need to know that. So a big Pinigigi. Hey, before I forget and the show ends, I just want to say the Leonard Peltier Walk to Justice has arrived in D.C. And I did see a lot of those guys during the Supreme Court.
During the Supreme Court hearings that happened on Wednesday of this week regarding the ICWA case. It's called Hyland versus Brackeen, but many people are referring to it as ICWA. They're determining whether or not ICWA is considered constitutional. Robert?
Right. The Indian Child Welfare Act. Were you laughing at me because I had a big sneeze attack there?
Yes, you did, and I just kind of jumped in to finish your sentence there, since I could see what was happening if anybody's watching us online.
What a good team. Hey, you know, we only got a couple minutes left here. Do you have anything else for us?
You know, I just wanted to touch base on this one thing that I seen earlier this year. And, you know, it relates all of this with Line 3 to Enbridge and ICWA. And a big part of it, it came from Twitter. And this thread that I read came from Auntie Wayote's Bad Advice column, but bear with me. And she or they uncloaked to talk about ICWA and how Indigenous children are still taken into foster care for reasons no white child is taken, and that these were some of the same purposes of the residential schools, to separate and to rob children of culture and community. And these stereotypes affect their ability to reconnect to their community. But the trouble with this, as Robert was saying, is that if we determine ICWA to be unconstitutional, if ICWA is overturned and we cannot protect our way of life and our sovereignty to raise our children in our culture, the real issue comes down to oil. Indigenous people across the world are taking more and more of a stand to protect lands from unwanted and dangerous drilling and pipeline projects, and that makes tribal sovereignty a threat. And if we lose the right to keep our own children within our nations, there's not going to be, that sets a really dangerous legal precedence to remove tribal sovereignty, which would then open up native lands, which hold some of the most biologically diverse forests and waters and protected areas throughout the entire world. That opens them up to these dangers with pipelines. And that's really what the problem with this ICWA case boils down to.
Hey, Pinigigi Ogama, I'm heading to the Hilton in Minneapolis and checking out the OGs, but I just want to give a quick shout-out. Next on KFAI, we're going to have Ho-Chunk member and former President John Green Deer, the best of Ho-Chunk Nation, and stay listening. He's awesome. I just want to end the show with, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance from Chief Plenticoops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.